It's Friday, and you're listening to the St. Gabriel Friday Morning Show with Katie and Father Adam. I'm Katie Wyatt, here as I am every Friday with my co-host, Father Adam Streitenberger.
Good morning, everyone.
How are you, Father Adam?
Doing great.
Good, good. We're in the second week of Advent.
Yes, this is one of my favorite times of the year.
Mine too.
But especially between, well, of course, we just passed out of it, but between the Immaculate Conception and Our Lady of Guadalupe, just
those days specifically?
Those days, yeah. I love the back-to-back Mary feast. So.
Yeah. Let's pray, and then we'll talk about some
things.
Sounds
good. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for this day. We ask that you continue to bless us, bless our time together, bless all of our listeners. We ask, O Lord, that you help us to come to a deeper knowledge of you and a deeper openness to your will. We ask this through in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Okay, so much going on. First of all, you get to wear your rose vestments this coming Sunday.
Yeah, I don't know if Sacred Heart has any rose vestments, so we'll see.
You know, Resurrection, our rose vestments are kind of the color of Pepto-Bismol.
Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah.
What is rose?
It's a reddish violet, is my understanding.
Oh,
Something like that.
Ours are not reddish violet.
Yeah.
They are fuchsia.
Yeah.
But, you know, you notice when you walk into church that something is different.
You do.
On Gaudet Sunday at church.
Yeah. Although I think I wouldn't say most, but a lot of parishes just use violet.
Oh, they do?
They don't have the rose available.
And that's legal?
It is legal, yeah. You can wear violet as an alternative if, you know. I mean, it's, you know, some parishes can't afford to have a special set that you only wear
twice a year. Wait,
yeah.
So you don't even know if you have rose vestments? Like, you'll know Saturday when you go into the...
Yeah, you know, I just kind of roll into the sacristy and, you know, I have a wonderful sacristan, Jim Merkling at Sacred Heart, who really keeps that parish running and
so you don't
does
even have
all
to pay
these
attention
things.
To
and
any
he
of those details.
Sets up for masses and, you know, he pretty much dresses me and, you know, it's all...
Like from Downton Abbey. Did you watch Downton Abbey?
No way.
Oh. I kind of knew that was going to be your answer.
Not even if I had spare time.
What? Downton Abbey is a great show. But that's not what I want to talk about. What I want to talk about are the results of the I Give Catholic Giving campaign.
Oh, great.
You know I love this stuff. It's all a competition. So here are the results. Here are the winners of I Give Catholic. Okay. First of all, $67,500 donated in our diocese.
That's the total for the whole diocese.
That's the total for the whole diocese. This is the one day of giving, Giving Tuesday on December 3rd. We put the Catholic spin on it. We do the I Give Catholic campaign. Jenna Zins talked about it here on our show. So donations in total were made by 421 people, benefited 53 ministries. Do you want to know what the number one cause was to which people donated?
Yes, I have a guess, but...
Did you read it? Or
no,
is this
I haven't
an
read
educated
it. I have
guess?
Not even read it.
Okay, what's your guess?
St. Joseph Cathedral.
No.
What?
No. You're not going to believe me when I tell you.
Okay.
Columbus St. Andrew Church raised $14,000 for a 37-piece set of bells for their new bell choir. $14,000! It's a $15,000.
Bells are really expensive.
Bells are expensive, but this is something that's important to the people of St. Andrew because they turned out. So, congratulations.
Yeah, I think $14,000, you may only get an octave.
The whole set, it's three octave set, and the whole set is 15,000.
Is that right?
Yeah, so they're almost
there.
So way to go, Monsignor Maloney and your parishioners. Our Lady of number two, Our Lady of Bethlehem School and Child Care raised $8,225. 68 donors, which is the largest number for any diocesan participant in the program. Our Lady of Bethlehem. Number three, Newark Blessed Sacrament School, $7,000, 26 donors. So way to go, Father Lonzo. And number four, Grove City, Our Lady of Perpetual Help. $7,000 from 21 donors. So, Father Miller,
I know the cathedral raised about $5,000. So,
yeah, they're not even on my list.
I was getting updates,
so
daily updates on it.
Really?
Yeah.
Like on a Twitter feed or what?
Well, the secretary was telling me about it.
So there are daily updates coming in.
She's the one who manages it for the cathedral. So
okay.
Yeah.
So yeah. Also, Catholic Women's Conference, Delaware St. Mary School, Back in His Arms Again Ministry, Columbus St. Timothy. Oh, Columbus St. Joseph Cathedral.
Hey.
But here, my number says $1,700.
Well, that's not updated. Yeah, that's. Your statistics are off.
Okay, great. Unrelated, St. Charles won the state water polo championship. It's their sixth win.
Yeah.
Have you ever played water polo?
Not officially.
I played for a minute, and then I was like,
Marco
I'm
polo.
Done.
Is that?
No. No, you cannot touch the bottom of the pool. No. Oh, my gosh. It's hard. It's quite a sport. Yeah, I'm not going to be playing that again anytime soon. And then, of course, Bishop Brennan is on his ad limina visit.
Yes, we hope to hear from him today
today.
Tune in.
Today, if everything works out, we're going to have three guests on our show. It's unprecedented.
Yeah, we're packed to the rim.
And speaking of Bishop Brennan in Rome, yesterday I was in German Village on High Street, pulled up behind a blinged out, huge black Cadillac SUV with a vanity plate that said Bishop FM2. For half a second, I got nervous. I thought the bishop was repping a different radio station. But
FM2.
then I remembered two things. I remembered three things. I remembered FM2 is not a station. I remembered Bishop Brennan is in Rome. And I remembered Bishop Brennan probably doesn't drive a blinged out Cadillac SUV.
I'm not for sure, but his license is 198. So.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
What is that? What is 198?
That's the address for his residence.
Oh.
Yeah.
I don't think I would drive around with my address on my license
plate. Well, it doesn't say Broad Street, so you wouldn't
know.
Well,
now you just told the whole world. okay, we need a traffic and weather update.
Okay. Well, everyone, our weather and traffic is brought to you by the 14 Holy Helpers, especially St. Eustace today, whose feast day is September the 20th. He is the patron against family discord. I think that is good as we go into the holidays. He's also the patron against fire and the patron of hunters, trappers, and anyone facing trouble.
So when you're out in the woods hunting for deer, is he with
Eustace?
You?
Sometimes there's another saint who they may be the same person, Saint Hubert, who's also patron of hunters. So.
Okay.
Today, we're going to have a high of 43 degree. Right now, it's about 35 degree. It's cloudy, and it's going to keep on getting more cloudier, with a slight chance of rain later in the day. We've got a couple traffic incidents. I-71 north between Hudson and North Broadway. 71 south between 161 and Silver. And then 71 south at Frank Road. So be careful. And as always, remember to drive safely. And if you have a St. Gabriel magnet on your car, represent us well.
All right. And today is Friday, December 3rd. It's Friday the 13th.
It's Friday the 13th.
I didn't know that until just this minute. Bring it. Because as Catholics, we're not superstitious, right? Yes. So give us something about this day in history.
Well, there are 2 points. One, on this day in 1294, St. Celestine V, who was Pope, resigned the papacy after only 5 months to return to his previous life as an ascetic hermit.
I mean, you can't blame him.
Yeah.
Wait, do we know anything about this? Do you know any more details? Like, how did he get pulled out of?
Well, there had been some strife in the papacy at that point, and so they thought, well, let's elect a really holy man. So they brought in this hermit, you know, and elected him as Pope. And, you know, it's not that he was a bad Pope. I think it was just
too much
of a mess for a hermit.
But even those 5 months, you know, were integral somehow. We might not even know how in the plan of the Holy Spirit for the church. Yeah,
I do know Pope Benedict visited the shrine of Saint Celestine the Fifth shortly before he himself resigned.
I remember hearing that. Yeah.
And then in 1545 on this day, the Council of Trent began.
All right. There you have it. This day in Catholic history. Okay. We want to move into our Priest of the Week segment, right? That's who we have. Yep. Okay. So we are joined this morning by Father Jeff Rimmelspaugh. Hang on, Father Jeff. I got to get my headphones on. Are you there?
I'm here.
Hi. Good,
good morning, Father.
Good morning, both of you.
How are you?
Doing well here. Doing well.
Good. We are so happy to have you on this morning.
Well, thank you.
I was telling Father Adam before we went on air that I'm getting a little soft because I let you choose which game you want to play this morning. I've never done that before.
Oh, my.
I know. Normally, I just throw it at the priest, and he's got to roll with it. So
there you go. There you go.
And you chose categories.
I did.
All right.
That's what I'm getting into, but that's what I chose. Yeah.
You're not really getting into much, actually. So, all right, but here's how we play.
All right.
I set my timer for a minute, which I didn't do last week or last time with Father Gardner, and I got in trouble because I gave him a good solid 2 minutes.
Uh-oh.
Father Adam called me out on that. So you're only going to get 1 minute, and I'm going to name a category, and you have to name three things in that category.
Okay.
And then you'll get a point for each category.
Oh, boy.
All right, you ready?
Yep.
Here we go. Deli meats.
Salami, ham, turkey.
Shapes.
Triangle, circular, square.
Flavors of ice cream.
Chocolate, vanilla, strawberry. All good.
Planets.
Neptune, Saturn, Earth.
Stringed instruments.
Violin, viola, cello.
Brands of automobile.
Buick, Chevy, Cadillac.
Phobias.
Oh, arachnophobia. What are some of the others?
What if you're scared of tight spaces? Oh, also you can say skip and you don't lose
any
points.
All right, we'll skip that one right now.
Kitchen appliances.
Blender, toaster, and a mixer.
Comic strip characters.
I just watched The Christmas with Charlie Brown.
Charlie Brown,
Linus, and Lucy.
Oh, I see what you did there. Hey. You pulled them all from the same comic strip.
You didn't say I couldn't.
Father Jeff.
Yes.
This news is going to shatter the world of the priests in our diocese.
Oh, my.
You have just pulled into first place.
Oh, we owe.
You have 8 points.
Hey.
So you have blown Father Dan Dury and Father Mike Harchie out of the water.
I especially take joy in Father Dan Dury.
Why? Everybody does. It's so weird. Everyone takes joy in being Father
Dan. Well, Father Dan was a seminarian with me up at St. Joan of Arc when I was there many moons ago.
Okay.
A very enjoyable summer. We laughed the whole time.
Well, Father, we're so glad to have you on this morning. What's going on? You're the pastor at St. Margaret of Cortona. What's going on there?
Well, we're, of course, gearing up for the Christmas holidays coming here soon, less than 2 weeks now. Our choir is practicing for their Christmas masses. And, of course, we have Christmas Eve, we have 4 o'clock, the children's mass, and then 10 p.m., choir, and then the day of Christmas, 10:30. So we always have good crowds and good celebrations, and hopefully this year will be no exception to that.
Of course, this is several months out, but just as a promo, St. Margaret's has the best fish fry in Columbus, Ohio.
Ooh, I'm going to have to debate that.
Well,
now I would challenge anyone to come to our fish fry and see what you think, especially our baked fish. The baked fish is really really good.
Yeah.
I don't know. I come from Church of the Resurrection, so we're going to have to take issue. Yeah.
But you come and try our baked fish.
I can't. What if somebody sees me there?
Tell them you're on You're on assignment.
Now, Father, our theme today, or one of the themes that we're looking at today, is Catholics in business. Of course, you probably have pews filled with parishioners in the business. What kind of advice do you give to your parishioners to help them to integrate their faith with their profession, their professional life?
Well, I suppose one piece of advice, the decisions you make in business, hopefully it follows Catholic faith and ethical practices, and also just the basic golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. I think that's a very good business incentive to take that into the business world. And I guess the second thing, something that we don't seem to do a lot in our society today, is to give people a second chance or give people the benefit of the doubt. So many times we're very quick to judge. So I guess those are the two suggestions that I might make.
That's great. Now, on the flip side, of course, as you know, as a pastor, you're supporting your people in their professional lives. But certainly as a pastor, you benefit from their wisdom and their experiences. What are ways that you kind of look for support and help from the professionals in your parish, in your kind of leading of the parish?
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the obvious ways, of course, is on our finance committee. Their expertise in that is not something that I'm an expert in, advising me on how to deal with that, also on maintenance issues within the church. Again, I'm not a carpenter, I'm not a plumber, although I will say, Father Adam, I didn't know that you had a degree in meteorology and traffic science.
Part-time. I wear many different hats.
I learned that today.
It's one of the things we're most proud about on this show. Yeah.
There you go. So, yes, I would say in those ways, but also maybe not in just business alone, but the lay people, you know, your commitment to your vows, your marriage vows, your being Christian in the workplace, you know, those commitments that you make, when I see people living those out well, it encourages me and my vow as a priest. And I hopefully it's vice versa as well, that we support each other and are good examples for one another in that.
Yeah, that's a beautiful point. I think it's this complementarity, you know, of celibacy and marriage, that they both support each other as models in living the lives. So.
Yep. And as you know, I can't be in the business place all the time, that's for sure, but our people can, and they represent the church to others in the business world. And I think that's a great witness for others in the world as well, to see Catholics living their faith in the business world as well as in the pews on Sunday.
Yeah, and that, you know, that brings up that the whole point of evangelization that really, and I'm sure our guest later in the show, Jim Granetsky, is going to talk about this at length, but you know, the lay people, the professionals, are in the world. They're in the workplace, they're in the business world, they're in politics, they're in society, where the priest or even the religious can't be present, or, you know, it's not as easy for them to be present. And really, we would say it's not really appropriate or particular to their vocation to do that. So,
right. And I will say, I mean, I know in today's world that's not an easy chore
in
the business world. To be intentional missionary disciples in the business world is truly a witness.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Well, Father, thank you so much for joining us. And in case we don't speak to you before, have a Merry Christmas and blessings on all and your new year.
Very good.
Hey,
you.
Father Jeff, do you have rose vestments?
Yes, and they are rose.
And they are rose. Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much for being with us.
Very good.
Thanks.
Take care.
Thank you. God bless.
You too. You're listening to the St. Gabriel Friday Morning Show with Katie and Father Adam. We're going to take a break. Don't go away.
My Joey loves to ask me questions about when I was 7. I think it's so he can be sure that he'll be like me when he's my age. He just wants to check that he's on the right track. Dad, was your favorite color blue? Yes, Joey. Did you play ninjas? Of course, I am one. Did you kill squirrels when you were seven? I'm like, Joey, you killed a squirrel? Never mind, Dad. One time he stopped me and asked, Dad, how do you remember when you were seven? I don't know, I said. How do you remember yesterday? And he said, I don't remember yesterday. Christian, you have a right to forget about yesterday. You can always start over, and your past mistakes never have to determine your future direction. If you missed that point, you just missed the point of the cross. And St. Paul, who used to hunt down Christians to have them killed, but ended up penning most of the New Testament, wrote, anyone in Christ is a new creation. The old is gone. This is Chris Stefanik from RealLifeCatholic.com.
Most of us can recall a childhood memory of innocence and a peace that only comes from God. Yet with our busy schedules today, many families don't attend church weekly or spend much time teaching their children about God. So many families now are burdened by financial and family challenges, substance abuse, and other worries. But there is hope. Studies show that people who pray regularly and practice their Christian faith are less stressed, financially stable, more compassionate, optimistic, healthier, and happier. Experience a positive difference in your life and for your family by coming home to your parish. Learn more by visiting CatholicsComeHome.org today. Here you may find answers to your questions and discover how Jesus and the sacraments will bless your family. There's no pressure or risk. You've got nothing to lose and everything to gain. Do it for your kids. Do it for yourself. Visit CatholicsComeHome.org today.
Welcome back to the St. Gabriel Friday Morning Show with Katie and Father Adam. We have just spoken with Father Jeff Rimmelsbach, and now we are moving on to our second of three guests today. We're jumping right into this interview because we're trying to fit everyone in this morning, and we're also super, super excited to welcome Jim Gernetzky to the show this morning.
Welcome, Jim.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's our pleasure. We're talking about Catholics in the business world, and you're the guy to talk to, right?
Yeah, well, yes. And you know, Father was talking very specifically, Father Rimmelsbach was talking very specifically about what we might traditionally consider Catholic business people or business people. And I'm sitting here thinking about how everybody's a business person from the sense of, I mean, you consider a stay-at-home mom. She has income and she has expenses, and the idea is to at the end of the day have something left over. Mm-hmm. And we are talking about business people being active in the world, living this integrated life, and it's really about how are we interacting with all of our circles of influence. And a stay-at-home mom who is operating in the business world as a consumer is a part of that circle of influence of the business operator that we might, you know, Father mentioned a plumber. So, you know, we, I think, tend to have a normal sense that we kind of put ourselves in these different boxes, which I think, quite frankly, is part of our problem from a faith journey standpoint, and why this whole idea of an integrated life is so crucial. In that we don't have a personal life, a professional life, and a spiritual life. We only have one life, and Jesus and our journey in faith is supposed to be at the core of all of that and permeate all of that. And we're not, it's not okay for us to enjoy the Sabbath, go to Mass, and then leave it all at the front door when we enter the office on Monday morning. You know, we spend half of our awake hours during the course of a business week, if you just look at a 40-hour business week, which most people are working more than that, but even if you just look at the 40-hour basis, we're spending more than half of our awake time during the business week at work, engaged in the world. Again, even the stay-at-home mom who's engaged with commerce, you know, doing her shopping for cleaning supplies on Amazon. And so, you know, we're all in this together, and so to paint business people into a corner or be, you know, an isolated box of people, I think, is a bit errant in our thinking.
Yeah.
Now, we didn't tell our guests who you are, so...
So you have started an apostolate, Nos Lumine.
Yes, yes.
Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, Nos Lumine is a... actually, it was not my idea. I spent 30 years in the executive search world. My business life was 10 years on the corporate side as a director of executive recruiting for Kohl's Department Stores and the Express Division of the Limited, and then went out on my own and was a traditional headhunter and grew my company to 23 people in the search business. And then it all changed in 2009 with the economy collapsing, and I decided to reinvent myself. And part of that was to how do I engage my skills and talents and experiences in discipleship. And I had a client who came to me one day and said, Jim, how do we connect the Catholic business community the way the Jewish business community is connected, which is a compliment in that they are very, from my vantage point, which granted is a bit limited, but my understanding of it is that they're very relational and they serve each other in terms of how they build out their networks and refer people and so on. And so there's a question of how do we connect Catholic business people in a similar way is a challenge because, we tend to be a bit isolated. I mean, even if you look at how we conduct ourselves at Mass on Sunday, you know, we walk in, we get in the pew, we put our head down, we get our game face on and we go to Mass, we get up, we genuflect, and we walk out the door and hop in the car. You know, we're too isolationist in the way we conduct ourselves. And so this idea of how do we connect each other to each other is a big question and a challenge. So this was an idea that was presented to me, and then through the course of, you know, prayer and contemplation about all this, Nos Lumine became my answer to it. And that's how I'm devoting my life in terms of how do we help develop Catholic servant leaders and operating in community and developing this path to an integrated life.
What are some of the ways that Nos Lumine and you and your associates are interconnecting these Catholic businessmen and businesses and professionals?
Well, it starts with us coming together in small groups and developing a depth of relationship that is fostering a greater degree of certainly familiarity and trust. And it becomes a starting point from our networking and developing our business connection. So, you know, part of the sequence of our conversation every week is who are you trying to meet? How can we help you? What are you trying to accomplish? Maybe there's somebody I can introduce you to. And so that would be maybe a business opportunity. So it could be a pure business referral. We had a situation very recently, which is a good example of one of our members had a particular hiring need, and he put it out to the network, and like within a week, he had this position filled. We're all about how do we help to promote people in their careers. So, you know, we've got one member who's actively in a job search mode, and so the network is coming to aid him in whatever way possible and helping to build connections for him and introducing him. You know, the whole referral idea is very important because, you know, if Katie, you like Father Adam, and Father Adam is going to refer somebody to you, you have a predisposition to like that person and trust that person because of Father Adam, you know, not because of, you know, what you may or may not have heard about the individual. So all of these different business activities, whether it's generating revenue, building our organization, you know, serving people, somebody in need, these are all different factors of how we operate.
So the relationship, the small group, is really what enables this. As you get to know each other, then there is this trust that builds, and then it kind of launches into professional interconnection.
Yeah, and I think the whole small group framework is crucial to this. And, you know, and especially if you look at trying to translate our faith experience at church into the community. You know, we've got parishes that are what? You know, I'm in St. Matthew's and it's 2,500 families.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have five masses on a weekend. by default, I don't even recognize 80% of the parish community I'm in.
Mm-hmm.
And so the whole idea of the small group and helping to build these bridges through referrals is, I think, very, very important.
You're listening to the Friday Morning Show with Katie and Father Adam, and we're talking to Jim Gernetzky, the founder of Nos Lumine. Jim, you're talking about the small group and the business connections you make. Is there spiritual sharing in those small groups as well?
Yeah, in fact, that's where we're starting. So what happens is we come together weekly on this small group basis, and we open with prayer. And then there's the introduction of a practical leadership skill that has application for everybody. And then we're trying to connect a spiritual theme to that. So, for example, we just spent a couple of weeks with the leadership of St. Joseph and talking about meekness, humility, and resiliency, and how does that play out for us as Catholics as we're engaged in our business day. And very profound.
Well, excellent. What role do you think that business plays in developing one's faith? Now, this is sort of a, kind of the reversal. You know, certainly we were talking to Father Jeff, how faith informs business. But how does business, the professional life, perhaps your time out in the secular world or in the secular world, influence your faith? I would even say in a positive sense, not necessarily in a negative sense.
Well, the whole idea is we are called to discipleship, and we're called to missionary discipleship specifically. So our business life is essentially our mission field, and so it's we have to be very intentional about how we're interacting with that. So I was thinking about an analogy, and it's like, you know, you can read about how to swim, but in order for you to become a swimmer, you need to get in the pool. And so we can read about how to lead. I mean, there's leadership books are you know, they're everywhere. Just I mean, there are millions of them. But if you're not interacting with that mission field that you're supposed to be operating with, you don't have a chance to really develop those skills. Mm-hmm. So to answer your question, if you're not engaged in your business life, you don't have an opportunity to practice and develop and exercise those spiritual muscles.
Yeah. Well, excellent.
I think sometimes we are intimidated by the thought of being missionary disciples because we don't know everything we feel like we need to know. You know, when people are going to ask us tough questions about our faith and we don't know the answers, but we don't really need to be at that level yet, right? So how does Nos Lumine help people just kind of enter into that place where we can be missionary disciples just where we are without being, you know, PhDs in theology or what?
Well, I had a very profound experience a couple of years ago with the story of the blind Bartimaeus at Mass. You know, I'm a cradle Catholic. I'm 63 years old. I've heard this story like forever, multiple times a year. And I think the question that Jesus asks Bartimaeus when he's presented with him is crucial, and that is, what would you like me to do for you?
Mm-hmm.
So when we're interacting with people in any sphere, and specifically business, you know, you, Katie, need to know that I care about you, that I can help you, and that you can trust me in order for us to ever really enter into a relationship. So it just starts with that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you're just going out and you're starting to build relationships, the rest becomes much easier to build on that kind of a foundation.
What kind of person is Nos Lumine for, and how do people get involved? Like who are we calling into this ministry, and how do they get involved with it?
This is one of my biggest frustrations, because we talk about how we are a business leadership network for Catholics, and people will say, well, I'm not a leader. Well, in fact,
you are.
Yeah. Everybody is a leader, whether they realize it or not. It's all a matter of how effective you are. Leadership is not a position. It's not a title. It's a behavior. And so regardless of where you fall on the spectrum of, you know, an organization, for example, you're called to be a leader. And you know, John Paul II said, well, we are called to sanctify the world and transform it. And Pope Paul VI said, you know, modern man listens more willingly to witnesses. So your leadership comes from how effective you are at witnessing. And that, as we know, is just a matter of living your faith. It's not going out and, you know, reciting Bible verses at break, mm-hmm. you know, in your break time. It's a matter of being visible. So, in fact, it's for everybody.
So tell us how we can get involved then for people who are interested.
NosLumine.com is the website. All the contact information is on there. There's a breakdown of the seven chapters that we currently have in Columbus. And email me. My email address is on the website.
Okay. And Lumine, NosLumine, NosLumine.
Yes.
NosLumine.
I'm sure we can get it up on the Facebook page.
Okay. Yep, we'll do that. Jim, thank you so
great.
Much
thank
for being
Thank you so
with
much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah.
We need to take a break. We will be back. And when we come back, we will be speaking with Bishop Brennan from Rome with an update on his Ad Limina visit. So do not go away.
Catholic Community News from St. Gabriel Radio, AM 820.
Father Jerome Stiluka will be celebrating the 50th anniversary of his ordination to the priesthood in December. He was ordained at St. Peter's Basilica in the Vatican on December 19, 1969, by Bishop James Hickey, rector of the Pontifical North American College. He will be honored at a reception on Sunday, December 15th, at St. Margaret of Cortona Church, 1600 North Hague Avenue, beginning with Mass at 2 p.m., followed by a reception in Culp Hall.
The Brigittine Sisters, who are establishing a convent adjacent to Columbus Holy Family Church, are sponsoring a class on making Christmas wreaths. Class times will be at 10 a.m., 3, and 6 p.m. on Saturday, December 14th, in the convent. For more information, call 740-248-9098.
Join the St. Peter's Choir for lessons and carols at 7 p.m. on Sunday, December 22nd at St. Peter Church, 6899 Smoky Row Road in Columbus. The event is free. It includes music and readings highlighting and celebrating salvation history.
This is a Young Catholic Minute.
I don't believe in hell. A loving God wouldn't send anybody to such a place.
You're right. A loving God wouldn't do that. But he's not going to force anyone to go to heaven either. If you dislike a certain relative and they knew it, is it loving of them to be around every chance they got? No. If they really loved you, they'd let you decide if you wanted to be around them or not. It's the same thing with God. He loves us, but won't force us to love him back. Because true love can't be forced. God gives us our lives on earth as a way to choose if we want to love him and spend eternity with him in heaven, or if we want to reject him and live apart from him in hell. So how do we know how to love God? Pray for guidance and grace, follow the commandments in the church, seek the truth, and let it lead you right to heaven. For more Young Catholic Minutes, go to youtube.com/youngcatholic.
I'm Lori Kroc, and this is a Holy and Healthy Minute. It's funny how the Holy Spirit sends you a thought, inspiration, or even just a word that you have to take to prayer to try to figure out how to respond. For me recently, the word was haste. I see haste in a positive way, especially as it relates to the three kings and the shepherds, making haste to meet the newborn King Jesus in Bethlehem at his birth. In the Visitation, we see Mary move with haste to visit her cousin Elizabeth, to care for her and to share her joy of the impending birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus. We can infer haste in Jesus urging his disciples to go forth, evangelize, and carry no money belt, no bag, no shoes, and greet no one on the way. Let us pray. Jesus, help us to rise up with courage to pray, discern, and share the gospel message with holy haste. Amen.
And we're back. This is the St. Gabriel Friday Morning Show with Katie and Father Adam on Friday, December 13th.
Good morning, everyone.
Father Adam, how about another traffic update?
Sounds great. Reminder that our traffic and weather is brought to you by the 14 Holy Helpers. Today, it's currently 35 degrees. We're going to have a high in the 40s, cloudy chance of rain most of the day. Actually, it looks like everything is clearing up traffic-wise.
Wow.
So even though the skies may be cloudy, traffic is clearing up. So still some slowdown on 71 South around Grove City.
Yesterday, I was trying to think of a little theme song to sing underneath your traffic and weather updates, but all I could come up with was the da-bum, bum, 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 which is the theme song from Law and Order.
Oh.
It didn't seem to.
One of my favorite shows. One of my
what?
Favorite shows.
That is
yeah.
You don't watch Downton Abbey, but you watch Law
yeah,
and Order.
Yeah,
yeah. Oh, like, my gosh.
That's what I spend most of my time on my day off is just half sleeping on the couch watching Law and Order all day.
Oh, my gosh. That's, the script of that show is so bad. Like, if the cops come to interview you when you're working on the docks, you don't stop working.
Clearly, you have not watched the classic Law and Orders.
I
you know,
have.
With Lenny and Jack McCoy and all the... yeah. Clearly.
It's so bad. And Downton Abbey is so good.
Yeah, yeah, whatever.
Today is the Feast of St. Lucy.
Yes, yes. You know, St. Lucy, of course, was Sicilian, or at least lived on the island of Sicily, Syracuse. As a young child, she made a secret vow of virginity, which her mother let her live by. And she really looked up to St. Agatha, which that's one of the interesting things as I was thinking about Lucy is, you know, when we think of those early martyrs like Lucy and others, we think that they were just sort of heroes on their own. But, you know, Lucy looked up to this earlier martyr, St. Agatha, to really inspire her.
And didn't Lucy's mother sort of, originally she, this is what I read this morning, originally her mother was opposed to her vow of
yeah.
virginity and she was betrothed to someone, but then Lucy's mother also was inspired by St. Agatha.
Yeah,
to
it was a miracle. I think Lucy's mother was sick. She was healed through the intercession of St.
Agatha.
Right.
And, yep.
And then, of course, Lucy is the patron saint of those with illnesses of the eyes because part of her martyrdom, the torture, was that her eyes were ripped out
mm-hmm.
so of their socket. So for those who are blind or going blind or those who have, like me, horrible eyesight, St. Lucy is their patron. So, and eventually what got her was the sword, so they beheaded her.
Wow. People yeah. are awful. And people are wonderful.
Yeah.
So, okay, let's talk about the gospel of the day. We're still waiting to hear from Bishop Brennan. It's about 3:40 over in Rome, so he might be in the middle of some things. So
yes.
we're going to do
well,
our
I
regular
think we have
stuff.
A nice short little gospel. I thought I would just read it for today. Jesus said to the crowds, "To what shall I compare this generation? It is like children who sit in marketplaces and call to one another. We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We sang a dirge, but you did not mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they said, 'He is possessed by a demon.' The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they said, 'Look, he is a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' But wisdom is vindicated by her works." So, you know, just as the people rejected John the Baptist, they reject Christ. And I think it's a real challenge for us to be open how Christ might work in an unexpected way and how he might break into our life in a new way. And I think this sort of attitude of openness and not kind of pigeonholing how Christ is going to work in our life is a crucial general approach to life that I would suggest to everyone.
This gospel resonates with me because what do we want from God? I think kind of, mm-hmm. is that the bottom line? Like God gives us. Sometimes we like the way it looks. Sometimes we don't like the way it looks, but it's sometimes we're never satisfied. For me, sometimes
yeah.
I'm never satisfied with what Christ is doing in my life.
I think that's another good lesson from
yeah.
this too. And part of it is that we're not really attentive to what our heart is desiring. But when we genuinely encounter Christ, he does you know, so we do know when we find Christ, when we meet him, when we encounter him, we do know what our heart is desiring. That is, I think, at the part of this, we use this word encounter, which I think we need to kind of slowly define over the next couple weeks, maybe on this show, is what the heck is an encounter? And I think part of this encounter is that we run into something that's unexpected, or someone who is unexpected, who fulfills our hearts. And this person is Christ, who is the one who is the fulfiller of all human hearts and desires.
And fulfilling our desires in unexpected ways.
Yeah. But in order for us to encounter Christ, we have to be attentive to who we are and what our needs are and what we're looking for, you know, and what really matters.
How do we do that?
Well, part of that is, I think, coming to know ourselves. Part of that, I think, is being ourselves, you know, and being comfortable with who we are. But, you know, I think so often we kind of almost chase mirages, you know, about who we are, or what we think we are.
Mm-hmm.
False identity and false, you know, I think false perceptions of ourself.
And also sometimes not embracing or not. So the gifts that we have, not seeing them as gifts, seeing them as things we're trying to change, mm-hmm. rather than embracing them and using them to God's,
yeah,
for God's glory.
Yeah, yeah. I think this, I mean, it really is, you know, this sort of attentiveness. And we see this, I think, in this gospel passage, is that, you know, the people on the one hand, you know, are looking for someone to entertain them. On the other hand, they're looking for, you know, some sort of ascetic, you know, that is completely denying him.
Which so, wraps up how we approach Mass,
yeah.
right, sometimes?
You know, but
yeah.
and a challenge, I mean, you know, like, so this might be a third point, you know, like this sort of general openness, this sort of being attentive to ourselves so that we can encounter Christ. But I think also, you know, because Christ's mission is connected to the church, is what are we expecting from the church too? So just as, you know, like, or we might say from our priest or from the Mass,
mm-hmm.
you know, I think we could apply these things to, you know, to our priests,
yeah.
or to, you know, like, well, we want them to dance, but then on the other hand, we want them to, you know, be super pious too. So it is these expectations that we put on others too. And, you know, I find in my own, I think, general experience in life, when people place unreasonable expectations on me, it's usually because they have unreasonable expectations for themselves,
mm-hmm.
or, you know. I don't know. That's your experience.
Well, people don't usually, I
projection,
think,
as they call it, I think in the psychological world.
Encounter more than laity of people putting unusual expectations
yeah.
on them. Yeah.
Well, I don't know though. I think everyone in relationships have run into that, where, you know, someone has placed these sort of unrealistic expectations.
Well, sure.
Them, you know,
yes.
Like,
but I think it probably happens to you guys on a daily basis.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's why we pray for our priests. Listeners, that's why we have to remember to pray for our
yeah.
priests. That, among other reasons. Okay, we are going to take a break because we're going to try to check in with Bishop Brennan and see if we can find him, see how he's doing. So don't go away. We'll be right back. This is the Friday Morning Show with Katie and Father Adam.
Sarah clubs throughout the world pray for and support the priesthood and consecrated religious life. Please join in our prayer for vocations.
O God, who wills not the death of a sinner, but rather that he be converted and live, grant, we beseech you, through the intercession of Blessed Mary, ever-Virgin, St. Joseph, her spouse, St. Junipero Serra, and all the saints, an increase of laborers for your church, fellow laborers with Christ, to spend and consume themselves for souls. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever. Amen.
For information on the Sarah Clubs in the Diocese of Columbus, go to saracolumbus.org. That's SERRA Columbus.org.
Did you know that your body has a theology? You have to admit, it's pretty sad. Eve bit the apple, Adam followed suit. God discovered their sin. The result? The Bible says death. But what does that mean? Pope St. John Paul II says they never knew the word bad until the day they disobeyed God. This is what we know as the rupture. Because they were able to choose evil, they were no longer able to live forever. Could you imagine being evil forever? Mankind needs to be free to choose. Therefore, Adam and Eve became mortal. John Paul II says, "The mystery of creation is not taken away, but restricted by the limits of conception, of birth, and of death." I'm Clarissa Chichioko for Creative Catholic Works. For more TOB Minutes, you can find us at creativecatholicworks.org.
Welcome back to the St. Gabriel Friday Morning Show with Katie and Father Adam. We are waiting to hear from Bishop Brennan. You know what I think happened, Father Adam?
What's that?
I think he found the best gelato place in Rome by the Trevi Fountain.
Oh, yeah.
And he got distracted.
What time is it in Rome right now?
It's about 3:40.
Yeah, that's
gelato 40.
That's gelato time.
Yeah, that's what time it is. So we'll keep waiting. We'll keep hoping we can connect with them. But in the meantime, we haven't had our catechism minute yet today.
Well, inspired by Jim Granetsky's visit with us today, I wanted to point out in paragraph 898, which I think is worth reading. It's not too long. But it's on the vocation of lay people, the vocation of lay people. By reason of their special vocation, it belongs to the laity to seek the kingdom of God by engaging in temporal affairs and directing them according to God's will. It pertains to them in a special way, so to illuminate and order all temporal things with which they are closely associated, that they may always be affected and grow according to Christ and may be the glory of the Creator and Redeemer. You know, as I've been teaching the catechism class, the catechesis from the cathedral, one of the things that struck me, because we just finished the sections on the church, and in that section it goes through, which is this paragraph is from, it goes through the different hierarchical order of the church, you know, the clergy, the religious and consecrated, and the laity. One of the interesting things is we're reminded that all of the baptized are anointed as priest, prophet, and king at their baptism, and that we exercise those offices, you know, according to our vocation. But in regards to the laity, so as priests sanctifying, prophets teaching or preaching, and then kingly serving, the laity do all of those roles, each of those roles, in two ways in general. One, within the life of the church, and then in the world. Mm. So sort of ad intra, ad extra, you know, interior and exterior. So in sanctification, you know, they live that in the church, which is always kind of what we would say the least important of the two for the laity. So like they would do that as Eucharistic ministers, as lectors, you know, serving in the liturgy, or other roles, you know,
catechists
in the life of the church.
Yeah,
that is more appropriate, I would say, to the prophetic office. But then there's always the more important is what they're doing out in the world. Mm. So sanctification by living and living and even suffering in the world, teaching and preaching, evangelizing in the world.
Do you think the majority of the laity, do we ponder our vocation? Do we ponder the fact that we have a vocation and embrace that? And
well, I think you would be better equipped to answer that question.
I don't think I am, because
as a member of the...
Because I know, how I was raised. I just sometimes wonder, yes, of course I ponder my vocation, but I wonder, am I typical among Catholic laity? Or?
Yeah, I think from my experience is that when most laity are kind of propose, like, listen, I have this priestly, prophetic, and kingly role. They first think of, how do I exercise this within the life of the church?
Okay.
You know, so, yes. And unfortunately, I think we priests kind of give in to that. Because if you look like on stewardship Sundays, most parishes do these. They're like, oh, well, volunteer to do this, you know, like be a hospitality person, you know, join the choir, you know, be a reader. But those are really the most insignificant role of the laity, those things. Like
right.
That's the least important. I mean, some of the best, most dynamic, holiest lay people who are living their vocation have no liturgical role
right.
at all.
Right.
I think what the challenge of priests and preachers in general, those who homilists, whatever you want to call them, is to invite and to remind the laity that their most important role is being out in the world and in friendships, in the family, at work, witnessing, loving, serving. Enduring.
As Jim Gernetzky, our guest, pointed out, there are ways to do that. There are ways to be supported in that, right? Outside of the church, Nos Lumine being a great example. Okay, we need to move on to some wrap-up stuff. We still haven't heard from Bishop Brennan. We'll stick around if he happens to be able to make contact with us before the show's over. But we wanted to talk about the nominations that are coming up for Catholic Man of the Year for 2020. These nomination forms are due by December 31st, and nominees must be laymen who, through their daily actions, words, and prayers, exemplify the good and faithful servants. So if you know a Catholic man who fits that description and you want to nominate him for Catholic Man of the Year, you can just Google Catholic Man of the Year, Columbus, Ohio, or email catholicmanoftheyear@gmail.com. That's a really exciting, uplifting thing that goes on in our diocese. So we invite you to participate in that. Today's a big day. We didn't mention this in Catholic history.
Yeah, today I neglected to include this, maybe because they didn't have it on Wikipedia, but was that it is the 50th anniversary of the priestly ordination of Pope Francis.
50th anniversary. Yeah. Did he know when he was ordained 50 years ago that he would be meeting with our bishop in Rome this week?
Well,
as Pope?
I think he couldn't even imagine being Pope at that point.
That's what I meant, really.
Yeah.
I was just putting a local Columbus spin on it. Shout out to our bishop. Tomorrow, I'm going to mention this because, well, tomorrow's the wilderness outreach hike. I don't know if it's too late to sign up or not. Sorry, John Bradford, if I'm putting people on to you. Wilderness outreach hike, but I bring it up because next week our guest is John Bradford.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, who's the founder of Wilderness Outreach. So we're looking forward to talking to him. And our priest of the week next week is Father Bob Penhalerick.
Oh, great.
Yeah, so should be a great week.
I was his associate in Newark.
You were?
Yeah.
How about that?
My first 2 years.
You guys will have some catching up to do, I guess. Another thing I want to talk about is that there are March for Life bus trips available for people to sign up with. Have
yes.
you been on the March for Life?
Oh, many, many, many times.
Oh, it's so great. What a great event.
I think if our listeners are not aware, the March for Life is this annual march really on Washington, which happens. This year it's going to be on Friday, January the 24th. I think it's always generally around that time, which is the anniversary of the Supreme Court Roe versus Wade decision.
Yeah.
We know that Danville, St. Luke, Zanesville, St. Thomas, and St. John Neumann in Sunbury are all organizing trips, but I'm sure at least a third of the parishes in the diocese are connected to that.
Yeah, check your parish, see if they have a trip, and if they don't, these parishes, as I understand, are opening their buses for other people to go, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it'd be great if one day the whole diocese could go.
Oh, and the whole diocese should, because number one, it's fun and it's very uplifting, so...
Excellent. Well, let's end with a prayer, shall we?
Yes, let's.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thine intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To thee do I come, before thee I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in thy mercy hear and answer me. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. And for my co-host, Katie, this is Father Adam saying, until the next time, peace and all good.
This is listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820 on WVSG Columbus and FM 88.3 WSGR New Boston, Portsmouth.